Springbok Radio proudly presents Tales from the Seven Seas. Stories specially written for this series by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen, and introduced by Hamish McLeod.
Love is very akin to heat. And in this world, unfortunately, it frequently happens that the thin line dividing the two emotions is frequently crossed. And this is more or less the theme of my story tonight. It begins in the year 1968, when Arnold Denning and his wife Sarah had been married for 15 years. But for the previous 18 months, their relationship had not been a happy one. Arnold had become more and more withdrawn, and when he spoke to his wife, which was seldom, it was in a voice of bored irritation. Sarah waited patiently, hoping that it was just a phase which would pass. And suddenly, it seemed that her faith was justified. I've called my story Second Honeymoon.
Sarah! Sarah!
Arnold! I didn't hear you come in. You're early. I'm just starting to organize dinner.
Leave it. We'll go out and eat.
Oh.
I don't remember the last time I said that. So long ago. Sit down. There's something I want to say to you.
What is it, Arnold?
Don't look so tentative. What I really want to say is, I'm sorry. I haven't been much of a husband for the last year or so. You've been stuck in this house for 24 hours a day, not going anywhere, never seeing anyone. And I've been too tired to talk to you, even when I came in at night.
I've known the pressure you've been under at the office. You've been working late every night for months now.
I want to tell you that the worst of it's over. And I'm going to make it up to you.
Arnold, you don't know how wonderful it is to hear you say that. I've been so worried. I thought you'd just grown, well, tired of me.
How could you think that? I suppose it was natural the way I've been behaving. But I had a great weight on my mind, and now suddenly I found the solution to the problem. So go and get dressed, and we'll have a celebration dinner in the most expensive restaurant we can think of.
I've probably put on 10 pounds after that meal, but I don't care. I enjoyed every mouthful, and every minute of the evening. It reminds me of, well, when we were first married and we saw everything through a glowing pink haze. I'm so glad that you're yourself again.
It was indecision which was tying me in knots. But now that I can see the way clearly, the knots have untangled themselves. And you know what we're going to do?
What?
We're going to take a holiday. And we're leaving next week.
Next week? But
Arnold... But I've already made the arrangements.
For the next few days, Sarah Denning was as light-hearted as she'd ever been in her life. All the worry of the past 18 months had vanished, and she welcomed each new day with a smile. And her husband seemed to be equally happy. In fact, they both exuded a newfound well-being which was visible. And when they checked in at their hotel in the seaside resort of Rockhurst, the other guests assumed that they'd just recently been married.
Another heavenly day. I must open the window and breathe in the ozone. Gorgeous.
Yes. The weather's perfect. What do we do today?
It's your turn to choose. What would you like to do?
Well, I don't want to make any hasty decisions. I'll think about it over breakfast.
You know, I get a kick out of making our entrance into the dining room. People think we're just married. And I'm not going to disillusion them by mentioning the wedding actually took place 15 years ago.
That wouldn't disillusion them. It'd fill them with wonder and prove to them that there are such things as happy marriages.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
Let's make their day for them. We'll casually drop the information at breakfast and watch their faces.
Ah,
must be like Cleopatra in her barge. Glad you suggested a rowing boat, Arnold. Years and years since we've been in one. I think the last time was... Well, it was on our second holiday after we were married. We fished for mackerel and lost the rollock. Do you remember?
I went round in circles for ages before anyone came within hailing distance.
You know, we're pretty far out now. If we go on at this rate, we'll set a new record. Couple cross Atlantic in rowing boat. Arnold, I think we should start heading back now. Apart from anything else, you haven't rowed in years and you're going to have stiff muscles tomorrow if you overdo it. That's better. It's time you shipped on your oars and took a rest. You've been rowing like a galley slave. Which way is the tide running? We won't drift right out to sea, will we? I was only joking about crossing the Atlantic.
The boat may drift, but we won't.
What are you doing, Arnold? Why are you taking off your shoes?
It makes swimming easier.
What? You're not going in swimming. How can you? You're fully dressed.
That won't happen. I've always been a strong swimmer.
For half a second, you almost had me believing you were going swimming. Now stop teasing and put your shoes on. There's water in the boat and you'll get your feet wet. I'll bet your socks are wet already, are they?
Yes.
Serve you right if your joke misfired.
It's not a joke, Sarah. I told you that I'd finally made my decision. And this is it.
What? What are you talking about?
I mean that we've come to the parting of the ways. I decided that this was the best place for it. A simple accident. Accidents happen all the time.
Accident?
You suddenly thought you'd like to row. You stood up to move into position. I shouted to you, but it was too late. The boat capsized, throwing us both into the sea. I kicked off my shoes and tried to grab you, but you slipped out of my reach and there was nothing all I could do.
Arnold, what are you saying? You don't mean this.
I do.
It's a cruel joke you're playing. Stop it.
I'm sorry, Sarah, but it's the only way.
You'd be so happy this few days. You said so yourself.
And the hotel guests will testify to that. Yes, that part worked out even better than I anticipated.
This is why you brought me here to kill me. To kill me. Help!
We're too
help,
far out for anyone to hear
us,
Sarah.
Help! Arnold, please.
I'm sorry, Sarah. It's just the way it has to be. Goodbye, Sarah.
I, Arnold Deming, sudden change from a morose and uncaring husband into a loving and considerate one, had been part of a carefully arranged plan to rid himself of an unwanted wife. It was a cold and calculated murder, yet not a breath of suspicion fell on him. He simulated shock and bereavement to perfection, and the hotel guests who had taken the Dennings to be an ideal couple and stated this fact to the police unwittingly aided him in his deception. But it was not only the authorities he had set out to deceive. There was one other person he had to convince.
Hello, Laura. I had to come. I had to talk to you. Are you alone?
Yes. Come in, Arnold. I didn't expect to see you again. Ever.
I didn't expect to see you again either. I tried to do the right thing, Laura.
I know. Why have you come?
Sarah's dead.
Dead?
I thought you might see the newspapers. I killed her, Laura. I killed her.
Flower Connection has just opened their flagship store in London, Johannesburg, at 65 on 4th, situated in 4th Avenue. For fresh cut flowers, plants and florist accessories at wholesale prices, come to Flower Connection. Our Florist Academy is well known for its courses and flower arranging lessons. Give a unique gift this Mother's Day, a flower course. We supply all flowers and materials. Remember, instead of giving one bouquet, the flower course will be a gift for life. Call Jenny on 076-951-9449 or visit our website at www.flowerconnection.com.
loved the Swinburne Top 40 Volume 1 so much, here's Volume 2. Swinburne Top 40 Volume 2.
Squad cars, they prowl the empty streets at night.
It is my fault. And I'll go on blaming myself for the rest of my life.
Darling, you mustn't upset yourself like this. Sit down and tell me about it. I'll pour you a drink.
You said darling. Does that mean you still care for me?
We'll talk about that later. Here, your drink. Just the way you like it.
Thanks, Laura.
Tell me what happened.
The last time I saw you, I told you that although I loved you, I was going back to Sarah.
Yes.
You've never realized the agony I went through making that decision.
I knew the agony I suffered when you made it. It seems so silly to let a matter of pride come between us.
It's the way I'm made, Laura. How could I prove to you that it was you I wanted and not your money? If I'd divorced Sarah and married you, the world would have assumed it was for your money. That wouldn't have bothered me. But I couldn't face the thought of a day coming when you might have doubts.
So you went back to Sarah?
She never suspected I was seeing you. She had a charitable nature. She assumed that I'd been working late for months on end. It wasn't difficult to effect a reconciliation. She was more than willing. And I acted out the part to the best of my ability. It wasn't easy when my mind was filled with thoughts of you. And the more I thought of you, the guiltier I felt, and the nicer I'd try to be to Sarah. I thought a change of scene might help, but we went for a short holiday to the coast. One day, I asked Sarah what she'd like to do. She left the choice to me, and I suggested we take out a rowing boat.
Go on, Arnold.
We were quite far out when she decided that she'd like a turn at the oars. She got to her feet, rocking the boat. I shouted to her to sit down, but she panicked. The next thing, the boat was overturned and we were both in the sea. I tried to save her, Laura. I tried.
Of course you did. I know you did, darling. But it was an accident. You mustn't blame yourself. You didn't kill Sarah. It wasn't your fault.
But it was. Don't you see? If I hadn't pretended that everything was all right again between us, if I hadn't suggested that holiday, if I hadn't suggested that...
No, Arnold, you mustn't torture yourself like this. What you did for the best, as you saw it.
I was living a lie. Sarah was the one who suffered for it.
You're still suffering from the shock of it all. Oh, no wonder. It must have been a dreadful experience. But we're all only human, Arnold. We can't see into the future. No one knows what consequences the best motivated action can have. And we can't hold ourselves responsible for things beyond our control. You must see that, Arnold.
I tried to stop myself coming here, you know. I knew I shouldn't. I don't remember really how I got here. It's as if, against my own volition, I was drawn to you for comfort.
I'm glad. I'm glad you came to me, even if it was against your will. And you must stop blaming yourself for Sarah's death. You know, you said she was more than willing to effect a reconciliation. So even if on your side it was only pretense, you made her happy.
I think she was happy, yes.
And that's the way you must remember her. Happy. Because you went out of your way to make her happy.
You have a way of putting things, Laura. I feel as if I'm emerging from a suffocating fog. But it's only to see another darker fog loom up in front of me.
Maybe I could help clear that one, too.
Something I can't talk about. Especially to you.
Arnold, when you first came in, you asked me if I still cared for you.
I shouldn't have said it. It was seeing you again. I shouldn't have said it. I had no right.
But I do care for you. This darker fog you're talking about, it has something to do with me, hasn't it?
Oh, Laura. Such a mess. Such a hopeless mess.
Tell me. Don't shut me out.
No matter how I rationalize everything else, How could I find my own happiness in Sarah's death?
I don't understand.
Sarah's assets come to me, including the insurance. It won't mean that I'll be a wealthy man, but there's enough. Enough to make me independent of a rich wife if I married one.
Arnold!
You see what I mean, Laura? What held me back before is no longer a barrier. But how can I, after what's happened?
Oh, darling, you really do have some strange ideas. I could never really understand why you let your pride come between us. Well, now I'll confess it. I always had a nagging doubt that perhaps you were still in love with Sarah. At times, I felt guilty about her, of course. Guilty about hurting her. But we can't hurt her now. And your pride about money can remain intact. Are we going to throw everything away because the stumbling blocks have been removed by an accident? Something you couldn't help? Something no one could help?
Am I being unduly sensitive, Laura?
I think so. If staying apart could bring Sarah back to life, neither of us would ever dream of seeing each other again. But Sarah's gone. And we're left. And we have to take our happiness where we can find it.
Laura. Darling.
Arnold Denning not only succeeded in convincing Laura Christie that his wife's death had been an accident, but had managed the conversation so adroitly that it seemed as if Laura's arguments had overcome his scruples about remarrying. Now, strange as it may seem, Denning was not a fortune hunter. Although he was besotted by the wealthy Laura Christie, he had not been prepared to divorce his wife and become a rich woman's husband. And it was this pride, or idiosyncrasy, which had caused him to commit murder. For Sarah had been insured for a very large sum of money, which, of course, came to Denning. And if you should ask me why a man would refuse to live off one woman, yet murder another for her insurance, I'm afraid I've no answer for the twisted logic of Denning's mind. Within a few weeks, Laura had become the second Mrs. Denning, and they went to the south of France for their honeymoon.
Keeping my eyes open for the perfect picnic spot. I know we're going to find it.
Soon, I hope. I'm starving. When I think of that gourmet lunch at the hotel's breakfast, I can't stop my mouth watering.
You'll enjoy it all the more when you finally get it. But wait a minute, Arnold. How about down there? Look, isn't it beautiful? The rocks and the blue sea.
Perfect.
But you're only agreeing because you want to get at the food.
I'd say if it was any place, it would be perfect just as long as you're there.
After that nice speech, I couldn't be so mean as to keep you waiting for your lunch any longer.
Marvellous. I'll just find a better spot to park the car and then we'll go down.
Some fruit, darling? Apple, banana, pear?
No, thank you. Couldn't manage another mouthful. How about a stroll to walk down the food office?
Good idea. Just let me dump these things in the picnic basket. There we are. All tidy.
Come on, then. Which way? Right on there.
Oh, right, I think. Interesting looking rocks, but not too difficult to clamber over.
Careful, darling. This is trickier than it looks.
All right. Come up here on the pinnacle, and we'll be masters of all we survey.
We have trespassers on our territory.
Where?
Back there, at our picnic spot.
I'm glad we had our picnic before they came. Oh, I hope they don't run away with our lunch basket, thinking someone's left it behind.
No, I don't think so. They'll have seen the car parked above.
Oh, look. There's a bottle floating in the sea. I wonder if it has a message inside.
Where?
Right over there. Look.
Careful, Laura.
You're the one who must be careful. You almost slipped. There isn't really enough room for two of us on this peak. Let's go over to...
Laura!
Is it done, Mr. Denning?
Thank you.
And now, if you will just go over the facts of the case for me.
I've already told the story a dozen times. Laura's dead. She's dead.
I am aware of that. She was killed almost instantly.
Then can't you understand how I feel? Leave me alone.
There are formalities which must be observed. Now, the hotel packed a luncheon for you and your wife.
Yes, a picnic lunch. We drove along the coast, and when we found a spot which appealed to us, we stopped. We had lunch, and then we went for a stroll.
Over the rocks.
Yes. My wife missed her footing and fell. It wasn't such a great distance to fall.
But it was a dangerous place. Any fall there is liable to prove fatal. Mr. Denning, there were witnesses to the incident. Some people who arrived and saw you walk towards the rocks. To put it bluntly, they agreed, although they were some distance away, to them it appeared as if you forced your wife to the edge and then pushed her over.
What? They're insane! I tried to save her! Tried to grab hold of her! I loved her!
Your wife was a very wealthy woman. By her death, you now inherited her fortune. Is that correct, Mr. Denning?
What's that to do with it? I never wanted her money. Only Laura.
Less than 3 months ago, your first wife died. Also in accidental circumstances. And you were also that lady's sole beneficiary, were you not?
What are you trying to say?
That she was heavily insured, and that the money went to you. That is a fact, you did not.
Yes.
A strange coincidence.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But it is a strange coincidence. Two accidents within so short a time, and both benefiting you financially.
You're implying that I killed Laura for her money? You're an idiot! You couldn't be further from the truth! I loved her! I loved her! Oh,
many men have protested love when their true motive was gay.
I didn't kill Laura!
Unfortunately for Arnold Denning, the French authorities did not believe him, particularly since new investigations were instituted into the death of Sarah. Nothing could be proven there, but it came to light that until just a couple of weeks before her death, Denning had been far from being a devoted husband. So the facts mounted against him, and he was made to pay the penalty for a murder which he did not commit.
You've been listening to Tales from the Seven Seas, written by Annette McKenzie and Jack Mullen. Listen next week at the time to another enthralling story of the sea, produced by Andre Botman.